السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before I begin, welcome for those of you who are here from long distances, from San Diego, from where did you come from tonight? Lake Elsinore? Okay. We have people who came from San Diego, so it's not too bad for you. Welcome to all of you. And Dr. Jaffer comes from Hemet here. So we are one family, and we are honored to be together during these holy nights. Many of you are asking about Eid. It happened that I stayed today in the mosque after the Friday prayers. I was in the office, and the phone was ringing non-stop. People asking about the Eid. Inshallah. It's ringing now too, see? Yeah. So, most likely it's Sunday, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, we have confidence that the moon is going to be observed in south of the border, probably in Mexico, in Peru, in the Pacific, and we have made some arrangements with some people that we know in these areas. Once they sight the moon, they're going to tell us, and as soon as they tell us, we send the email. So the best way of communication today is not the phone, it's the email. You will receive, inshallah, an email, and we will post it on our website, IECOC. This is the website here, IECOC.org. And if Sunday is the Eid, inshallah, then we will begin. The doors are open at 6:30 a.m. However, the takbirat begins at 7:45, and the first prayers begins at 8 sharp, inshallah. There is something that you must do on the eve of the Eid, and that is an amount of money that you have to give to the poor people. You have to separate that from your wallet, from your money, on the eve of the Eid, which is Saturday night. And on Sunday, when you go to the prayers, you give it either yourself directly to those who are deserving, or if not, and those who are deserving, those who do not have sufficient money for their daily life activities. Not that they don't have money at all. They still have money, but the money is not sufficient. This is the definition of poverty in Islam. When you don't generate enough money to sustain yourself and your family, then you deserve to be helped. So you give it to those who deserve the help. Or if you don't find them, you can put them in the boxes here. This is fitrah, zakatul fitr. The correct name of it is zakat al-fitr. Give it, and inshallah, we will disperse this money, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala anbiya'illahi jami'an wa ala sayyidihim wa khatamihim habibi ilahi al-alameen abil qasim al-mustafa Muhammad. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وعلى صحابته المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. Tonight's subject is about Islamic Sharia. This is a subject that is being hotly debated in this country. And the Islamophobes in this country, they focus on Sharia. They claim that Muslims came to America to change the religious landscape of this country, to convert people from Christianity, Judaism into Islam by force, to convert all the churches into mosques, to force women to wear hijab, to force men and women not to drink, not to do this, not to do that, which is not true. None of these things are happening, and none of these things are going to happen even in the next 500 years from now. Because one of the most important principles of our religion is freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. No one can force any individual to accept faith, religion, or sect, or madhab, or doctrine. This is unacceptable in Islam. And no one is trying to promote Sharia in this country. We are trying, we Muslims are trying to promote understanding and goodness and wholesomeness in this country. Muslims are an asset to the United States of America. Muslims are not a burden on this country. They are a plus, they are a privilege. They are an attraction to the United States of America. So no one is promoting Islamic Sharia. Islamic Sharia is not being implemented in Muslim countries, let alone America or Europe. However, the word Sharia is multifaceted. It has many dimensions. Some people focus on one dimension of Sharia, which is the legal aspect of it. And not the entire legal aspect. They go after the penal code, capital punishment. They just highlight this and try to frighten people about Islam. But Sharia is not about penal code. It's not about capital punishment. Sharia has many dimensions. One dimension of Sharia is doctrinal. Aqidah is the system of belief. We have certain beliefs. These are the foundations of Islam. One of them is the unity of God. Unity of God, Tawheedullah. God is the most merciful, most compassionate. God is very forgiving. We stress these qualities, these attributes of God. God is not the God of revenge. He's not the God of hate and discrimination. He's the God of unity and understanding and forgiveness and tolerance. This is one part of it. The second part of Sharia is the legal one. Legal one also has branched into two sections, Ibadat and Mu'amalat. Ibadat, there are certain rules regarding the way we worship. How do we worship? What does God want me to do? When it comes to prayers, when it comes to the month of Ramadan and fasting, when it comes to almsgiving and helping others. And mu'amalat. Mu'amalat means dealings with others. Dealing with your wife, with your children, matters of marriage, matters of family, raising children, taking care of your parents, your neighbors, yourself. These are mu'amalat. And Sharia speaks extensively and in depth about this dimension too. And then we come to the most important dimension of the Islamic Sharia. Beside the doctrinal one, the aqa'id, doctrines, the second one was ibadat, worshipping. We come to the third one. What is the third one? Who can guess? Exactly. Akhlaq, manners, behavior, relationship with others. This is also another important aspect of the Islamic Sharia. And we Muslims in America, we have to stress the third dimension, the ethical one, the moral one, relationships with others. Because today Islam is in a crisis. Why it's in a crisis? When you have Muslims killing each other in the month of Ramadan, you know, today in the city of Mecca, the holiest city in Islam, there were many people who were wounded by someone who wanted to bomb the holy mosque of Mecca. Today, Friday, 11 people were wounded. They were injured. And God averted a huge disaster. The mosque is packed with worshippers, and someone who hates God and hates humanity, he wants to detonate himself, kills himself, and kills hundreds of thousands of people. So we are in a crisis, yes. And the reason for this crisis, because many people misunderstood the message of Islam. They misunderstood this book. They claim to be Muslims, but they are not Muslims. In my opinion, they don't follow the book. Interestingly enough, just 4 days before the month of Ramadan, May 23rd, a funny story. It is funny, but it makes me angry too. That took place in Tampa, Florida. Someone who was a neo-Nazi, and he converted to Islam at the age of 18, he killed two of his roommates in Tampa, Florida. And when he was captured and detained, it was in the press. I read the story in the LA Times, May 23rd. He said, because they disrespected my religion. Disrespected your religion? And then you kill them, you shoot them, tick, 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 tick. That's easy. Who taught you Islam? Who brought you into this religion? Who converted you? Based on what? Based on violence? Based on hate? Based on cheapening the life, the sanctity of the life of the people? People are insects? So you can kill them anytime you like? This is not Islam. What he did is anti-Islam. And I don't even believe he's a convert. And if someone converted him, then he converted him not to Islam, to barbarism. Not to Islam. Islam is religion of love. And you have to express this love, this affection, every single day. Every single day. Inside your house and outside your house. With those that you know and with those that you don't know. That's the main principle of Islam. لَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا. The Prophet addressed his community. He said, hey, my community, listen to me. You would never make it to paradise unless you attain real faith. And you would never be able to attain real faith unless you love each other and respect each other. Faith does not come only through prayers and fasting. You attain faith when you start respecting others, appreciating others. This is the core Islam. This is the essence of Islam. So the third dimension of Sharia, which is the ethical dimension, the moral, the human dimension, is the essence of Islam. And this is what we have to promote here in America, in the West. We have to speak about the third one, not the first one or the second one. It would not do good if you tell people God is one and God sits there on his throne. So what? But it will make a big difference when you say God is merciful. God is forgiving. God is embracing. When you commit a sin and you drift away, he's waiting for you to go back to him. He's not the God of punishment and revenge. He's not the God of hate and discrimination. He doesn't have a prejudice. He loves all people. He welcomes all people. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. This verse is mentioned in chapter 2 in this month, in the month of Ramadan. Regarding the month of Ramadan, after speaking about fasting, he says immediately, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَى. And if those sinners who committed sin against themselves, they ask you, oh Muhammad, where is your Lord? Show me his address. I want to meet with him. Tell them he's eminent. Qareeb. He's not too far. You don't have to travel. You don't have to take an airplane to reach God. God is with you. God, he comes to you. Rather, you go to him, he will come to you. But he's waiting for a signal of acceptance from you. Once you say, I really like you and I listen to you, he will come to you. God, when he created mercy, he divided it into 100 sections, 100 parts. He sent one part to the earth so people can use it among themselves. If you see a mother being merciful with her baby, this is part of this one part. And he saved 99 parts for himself to use it, he himself to use it to bestow forgiveness and mercy on the people. This is God. Not a God of bloodshed and killing and shooting, and because he disagrees with me, I have to put him down. This is not Islam. The Prophet ﷺ says, the essence of my mission, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I only came not to teach people physics and math and English. I came to teach them good manners, good behavior. I came to teach them how to respect each other, how to be merciful with each other, how to be considerate and thoughtful. مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. How to be kind and generous. These are my lessons. This is what I am here for. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. This is why we have to show our neighbors. We have a duty in America. We are not here by accident. I believe we are here by design. We were speaking over iftar with Dr. Jaafar. My father came to this country in 1986. He never knew that when he comes here, he will bring his children, his grandchildren, they will open mosques and schools. And Dr. Jaafar, I wasn't here in 1986. I came in 1994. But he says, with the help of God, of course, the blessings of God, we don't claim any credit. The credit goes for God. He was able to change the landscape. So we have to promote Islam through what? Not through harshness, being tough, being arrogant. Not through this. Promote Islam through love and understanding, through forgiveness, through sacrifice, through working for the entire humanity. I always say this in this podium, every single day. In Islam, we do not discriminate between Muslims and non-Muslims, between white and black. We never discriminate. When you have goodness, you have to reach out to all without discrimination. I said this yesterday here. When you try to help, don't look at people's gender or color or language or religion. These are irrelevant. In the eyes of God, these things are irrelevant. Look at them as being humans, and they deserve respect. They deserve attention. Always look at people, number one, as being humans. That is the highest value. God says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. All humans are honored in the eyes of God. God, He Himself, He would not here hold them accountable here for not being religious. He would not do that for them here. Maybe tomorrow, yes, on the Day of Judgment. But here God gives sustenance, He gives food. This is what we say in the dua. يَا مَنْ يُعْطِي مَنْ سَأَلَهُ يَا مَنْ يُعْطِي مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلْ. Oh, the God who gives those who recognize Him and know Him and worship Him, as at the same time He gives those who reject Him and they don't even recognize Him. But He's their God and their Lord. He's responsible for them. So we have to implement this. Some people say we need to establish Islamic Caliphate. What is Islamic Caliphate? It was established in Mosul, in Aleppo, in Raqqa. What did they achieve? Even mosques were bombed yesterday, 2 days ago. The most ancient mosque in Mosul, hundreds of years old, it was demolished by the Islamic Caliphate. Let alone churches and synagogues and priests and nuns and civilians and elderly and men and women and children. They were raped, they were killed. This is the Islamic Caliphate. Islamic Caliphate that is based on aggression, based on ignorance. We don't need Islamic Caliphate. You can establish an Islamic society in your home. You don't need a territory. You don't need to appoint yourself the governor, the president, the prime minister. You don't have to establish Islamic government. You are, the Prophet says, you are the governor and the governed at the same time. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّةٍ. In your home, if you are a good father, then this is an Islamic system. This is a moral system. If you are a responsible mother, caring mother, you are an Islamic mother, this is an Islamic system. If you are a good son and daughter, then this is the Islamic system. You don't have to write a constitution and have a banner and wave your banner and carry a rifle. You don't have to do these things. Be a good father, that is the best service that you do to yourself and others. Be a good mother, be a good citizen, be someone responsible in the community, be someone who puts others before himself. You are the best Islamic leader. This is what God wants from you. God does not want you to declare Islamic Khilafat and occupy a piece of land and make a barbaric system who deprives women from education. If men do not, you know, grow a beard, they are put in jail. If you don't go to the prayers, do prayers with them, then you deserve death. This is not an Islamic system. This is anti-Islamic system. This is why ISIS is anti-Islamic. Al-Qaeda are anti-Islamic. And most of you know, all of you know, who established ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and all these terrorist organizations. You know very well. You know who paid for them, who financed them, who helped them, who purchased weapons for them, who even trained them, who protected them. You know that. This is not the production of Islam. Islam is not responsible for ISIS. There are certain agencies and governments who established, they put hand in hand to establish ISIS, to demolish Islam from within. This was the plan. And every day we discover, it's not, we don't discover, the rest. We knew this, we knew the story from the beginning. When ISIS occupied Mosul 3 years ago, I gave a speech in Iraq. I said, ISIS is the protection, is the production of the Israeli intelligence. The Israeli intelligence. Most of their officers were trained in Israel, including Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who went to Jahannam, I think, 3 days ago, who was killed. They are not the production of Islam. Islam is not about killing. Islam is about mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ God says to the Prophet, O Muhammad, I just sent you to be a mean or means of mercy. Just mercy. إِلَّا means you are only and only means of mercy and forgiveness. Now, let me speak about three principles of an Islamic society. Islamic society, as I said, does not need to be under a banner and khilafah and this and that. Your home is a society. Your mosque is a society. Your neighborhood. Three principles. Principle number one, an Islamic society is based on tolerance and respect for all religion and all schools of thought, all madahib. Even if you don't believe in their validity, you still have to respect them. You still have to work with them and cooperate with them. Acceptance and respect for all religions. Islam never said, there is never a single verse in this book that says, I want you, God says, I want you to hate this religion, that religion, this temple, this church. In fact, there are things that tells me in this book, you have to respect the church. I was in a synagogue 3 weeks ago, Newport Beach. Some of you were with me on the night of Ramadan for the iftar. One of the big synagogues in Newport Beach. And when the time came for the salat, I said to the rabbi, Rabbi, would you give us permission to do our prayers here in your synagogue? He says, yes, of course. I said, because we in Islam teaches us that if there is a synagogue or a church or a home, your home, it's better that you do your prayers in the synagogue or the church. It's better to do it either in the synagogue or the church rather than doing it at your home. It is more rewarding. Why? Because Islam acknowledges the sanctity of the church and the synagogue. Even if we do not believe in their message, in their doctrine, we might not believe in what they believe in, but we respect them. And we respect their places of worship. And this is a verse mentioned in the Quran. وَلَوْدَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيعُ وَصَلَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah says, I try to defend these places. Sometimes we disagree with them, but you still have to defend their existence. So this is number one. All religions are respected in Islam. Second principle, humanity is respected in Islam. Humanity, humans. By merely being human, even if you are atheist, you still have a value in the eyes of God. God says, I have hope one day you will come to me. I know you are rejecting me now, but one day you will come back to me. So I take care of you. So we have to respect the humans, regardless of what they believe in, regardless of their religious affiliations. Don't look at people's religious affiliations. Don't. When you start looking at people's religious tendencies and religious choice and religious affiliations, then you're going to categorize them. This is category number one. This is not B. This is C. This is D. This is not good. Don't look at people. Don't look at people's religion. Look at people's humanity. Look at people's heart and mind. And we respect their choice in life. We respect their choice in living in peaceful coexistence. We have to respect people's choice. That is the second principle that we learn in Islam. That all people are respected. They deserve to live. They deserve to live with freedom, with dignity. And if one day you pass by and someone's life is in danger, you must rush to that person and save his or her life. You don't have to ask them, listen, I'm not going to save you. Tell me first, are you Muslim or non-Muslim? Are you Shia or Sunni? You shouldn't ask. You shouldn't ask. He's a human. She's a human. We don't ask them about what they believe in. I told you the story of Ibrahim. I love this story. Ibrahim, when he built the house with his son, Ismail, he was very proud. He built a huge house for God. He built a temple for God. So he was looking at the house with pride. God sent him a message. He said, Ibrahim, are you happy you built me a house? He said, of course, Lord, I'm happy. This is the first house. God said to him, but this is not the purpose why I sent you. I did not send you to bring bricks together and establish a material house. I sent you to save lives and dignity of the people. So Ibrahim said, what do you mean, God? God said to him, I know you built a house for me, but this house is a material house. These are stones and bricks. I want you to save lives. He said, how? He said to him, I want you, when you find someone hungry, give him food. Someone homeless, give him shelter. Someone sick, give him medicine. Someone confused, give him guidance. Ibrahim decided from that day, I'm not going to eat by myself. So every day he would invite. One day, the food was ready, but there was no one to eat the food. So he went outside his house. A man passed by. Ibrahim doesn't know him. He said to him, would you come to my house to eat? The man said, sure. So he went to his house. He sat at the table. The man was about to eat. He took the first bite. He was about to put the food in his mouth. Ibrahim said to him, hey, hold on. The man said, what? He said, say Bismillah. The man said, Bismillah? What is Bismillah? I don't know what is Bismillah. He said, you don't know the Lord? You don't believe in the Lord? He said, no. I don't know the Lord and I don't want to know the Lord. Ibrahim said, I'm so sorry I invited you to my house. Had I known that you are atheist, I wouldn't have invited you. So the man said, okay, nothing happened. He puts the bite back and the plate and he leaves. Here, God sends a powerful message to Ibrahim. God sends Jibreel immediately. He comes, Jibreel. He says to him, Ibrahim, what did you do? What did you do? Why did you insult this person? God says this person is 50 years old. We've been giving him food and a drink and shelter every single day. We never questioned him about his religious orientation. We never questioned him about his belief, whether he believes in God or not. It's not your duty to question him. Go after him and bring him back immediately. God is unhappy with you, Ya Ibrahim. This is not ethical what you did. So Ibrahim left the house. He was running after this man. He caught him halfway through. He said to him, please, I beg you to come back to my house. The man said, what happened? Why did you change your mind? You didn't like me. I'm an atheist. The man, Ibrahim, said to him, man, listen, my friend. The same God you were not ready to believe in him, that guide chided me and threatened me because of you, because of what I did to you. The man said, wow, it seems this God is really merciful. Ibrahim says, of course he's merciful. The man said, Ana ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. I testify that there is no Lord but him and you are truly the messenger of God. We don't look at people's religious affiliations, my friends. This is dangerous. This is dangerous when we start comparing people. This one has more religion. Who are we to judge? How we give ourselves permission? I know in some religious circles, especially religious circles, they appoint themselves as judge. They say this is religious, this is not religious. This is more religious, this is 80% religious. This is 20% religious. How do you know? Why do you judge people? Did God appoint you as in the Supreme Court to judge people and grade them? Who are you to grade? God said to the Prophet, you don't have the right to grade people. You don't, Muhammad, you don't. You don't have that right. Leave it to me. I am the judge. I know about the hearts. I know about the intentions. We should not brand people, tell them, you are not religious. I am more religious than you. We shouldn't say this. This is not good. This is dangerous. This is discrimination. This makes people run away from Islam, from religion. We shouldn't do this. And the third principle, so what was the first principle of Islamic society? I know you've been fasting the whole day and you ate some rice and meat. I know it was heavy a little bit. But still, alhamdulillah, many of you have sharp memory. So what was the first base of the Islamic society? Respect for all religions. What was the second base? Respect for the entire humanity, regardless of their race, of their language. All people are respected in the eyes of God. We should never discriminate. Principle number three, respecting opinions and ideas even if they differ with us. In Islam, there is no room for intellectual terrorism. Sometimes terrorism is physical, through rifles and bullets and guns, and sometimes it is intellectual. How is that? When some people want to dominate others with their ideas, with their opinions. When some people think the only right people are them and all others are wrong. And only their ideas are right, while others are wrong. This is intellectual terrorism. We should not do that. Unfortunately, we do this in Islam. The Sunnis do that and the Shia do that. The Sunnis do that. You see the example of ISIS, Al-Qaeda. ISIS believe in takfir. They are the only good Muslims. The rest of the Muslim Ummah are kafir, infidels. They deserve death. The Shias, they all always do this. They also do this. How? When they believe this marja', this leadership is right, other maraja', all of them are wrong. Wait and see tomorrow regarding the Eid. If you don't follow them, then you are not Muslim. You are not believer. You are hypocrite. This is intellectual terrorism. Leave people alone. Fadakkir, God says to the Prophet, leave people alone. Fadakkir innama anta mudakkir lasta alayhim bimusaytir. You just remind, you teach, you invite, you educate. You are not controller. You are not controller. You should not coerce them. Religion that comes, faith that comes through coercion is no faith, is useless, has no value. Hijab that comes through coercion is no hijab, has no value. This is what I say to many parents who come and tell me, my daughter, she does not want to wear hijab. I tell them, don't force them, teach them, encourage them, tell them the good things about hijab. Tell them the difference of hijab and non-hijab. Tell them, but don't force them. Once you force them, that hijab, when she wears that hijab under force, under threat, blackmailing, then this has no value. It has no merits. Same thing with the prayers. I know some parents, when their kids were young, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, they would force them to pray. Force them, by force, by threat. Sometimes they beat them up. Of course, those kids, they grew up. They became 20, 25, 30. They left the family. They became atheists. They don't pray. Why they don't pray? He says, because my father made the prayers ugly in my eyes. I hate prayers. Whenever I want to pray, I remember when my father was forcing me, threatening me, hitting me. I don't like prayers. Don't make prayers ugly in the eyes of your children. Don't make fasting ugly. Don't make the mosque ugly. Don't force people. Fadhakkir, our job is to teach, to educate. That is the best way. The best Islamic society is not the society that is based on threat, imprisonment. No. It's the society that is based on freedom and dignity of the humans. And a free choice. Free choice. One thing I like about Turkey, I find it in Turkey, but I don't find it in other Muslim countries. Hijab. Do you know in Turkey, if you go today to Turkey, the Republic of Turkey, the percentage of women, according to surveys, who observe hijab is 70% among women. 70%. And their hijab is the most perfect. Better than Iranian hijab, Arab hijab, Iraqi hijab, Afghani hijab. Definitely Saudi, definitely. Yeah, no doubt about it. The best example of hijab to me, I travel extensively. I've seen many societies. The best type of hijab is the Turkish hijab. Why? The state is secular. They don't force people to wear hijab. They teach them. The mosques, they teach. The schools, they teach. The imams, they teach. Parents teach. Teachers teach. But they don't force. When you don't force, you leave people alone. They love hijab. They appreciate it. They will do it by themselves, with their own love, with their own conviction. With their own conviction. But go to other countries, I don't want to mention names, and look at the hijab there. Look at how they wear it. Education is important, my friends. Teach your children. We cannot correct the mistakes of other countries and dictators. At least we can correct our own mistakes. Okay? We have control over our own behavior at home. Be a good father, a good mother. Teach yourself, teach your children these principles. Never coerce them. Give them a freedom of thought. The most precious gift God has given mankind and humanity is a freedom of thought and a freedom of choice. And also freedom of speech. Because if I say these things in one of these Muslim countries, They will arrest me and put me in jail. Tomorrow Eid, you would not find your Imam. Imam Qazwini is in jail. But thanks God, I'm in America. I can speak up my mind without any fear. I only fear God. When I speak, I look at God. I don't look at the president, the governor, the mayor, the chief of police, the intelligence service. I don't look at these things. You know, in some Muslim countries, if they tweet today, if they send a tweet, United Arab Emirates, if you send a tweet, you end up 15 years in behind bars in the prison. 15 years for one single tweet. Is this democracy? Is this Islam? Do you expect people in this country to respect Islam? They would not respect Islam. God has given us these three: freedom of thinking, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion. And we have to thank God for these gifts, and we have to promote them. A strong Islamic society, a society is based on these principles. Teach, but don't coerce. There is a big difference between them. Remember what God says to the Prophet, ذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. ذَكِّرْ, teach. مُسَيْطِرْ, coercion. Don't do coercion. Don't force. Don't blackmail. Don't even threaten anyone. Don't. Leave them alone. The beauty of religion is when you choose it yourself, it is not imposed on you. The day religion is imposed on you, you run away from it and you start hating it. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. They asked me, there is a friend of us in the hospital. They asked me to recite this ayah for him and for others who are at home and hospitals, Sister Fatma Saleh and other friends who are waiting for surgeries. So please remember them in this last Friday of the month of Ramadan. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية تقبل منا صيامنا وصلاتنا ودعاءنا وقرآننا في هذا الشهر العظيم واجعلنا من عتقائك من النار وأدخلنا الجنة وعجل في فرج إمامنا وقائدنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.